Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Crystal Core Radio Project podcast. It is what it is. Thank you guys so much for joining me. We got a roundtable here with us today. Mike from Ready Check Radio, Giant Bomb, thank you so much for coming back on.
Not Giant Bomb. Sir. Oh, no, I wish, brother.
MMO Bomb.
MMO Bomb.
There it is.
Yeah, MMO Bomb.
It's a podcast where it's just poke you and see if you like everything.
Do you know your own resume? Let's test you.
It's like, all right, guys. Yes, excellent. And Chili from Moogle Go Round Radio, how are you doing, sir?
I'm not doing bad, thank you.
All right. Chris, what's going on with you, dude? We'll start with you.
Not a lot this week. It's just, it's been busy in work, and I'm sitting down to play some 14 later today.
All right.
That's the plan.
Very nice. Very nice. Are you gonna just play that privately, or are you going to?
Yeah.
I'd like
to just consume some games.
All right.
I've been thinking about driving into this like Helldivers game that I keep hearing so much about. I haven't done it, and
I'm
afraid I'm going to lose my life if I like it.
Dude, do it. Just jump into Helldivers, man.
Yeah, do it. Play it.
Please let me know whenever, like anytime you're like, I'm thinking I'm going to boot this up and play it. Just please text me because I would love to jump in and play with you. It is a game that's great, and then it's even better when you have friends that you're playing with. So I can't praise it enough. Mike, what are you playing? You playing some Helldivers 2 or what's going on with you?
Playing some Helldivers 2, obviously playing some Rebirth. That's been my offline. I actually have a few hours to game, so I'm just going to chill, relax, play some Rebirth. Talked about it yesterday in the podcast. But so here's a bigger piece of news, not video game related for me personally. March 19th, mark it on your calendars. If you play or are even remotely interested in Final Fantasy, the trading card game. Okay. Which I find a way to bring up on every show, Brian, that you have me on. And I appreciate being here. Chris, always love you. Much love to that guy. And Chili, we've been like circling for years knowing each other. But I think this is the first time we've actually gotten to do a show together. So I'm very excited. Anyway, March 19th, I will be on Square Enix's official stream for the reveal of the new Hidden Hope set. A couple of days before it comes out, a couple of days after pre-release, so people should have a few cards in hand if they went to a couple events. I'll be hanging out with the Square Enix team on their Twitch, so yeah. Hook it up, March
19th. That's amazing.
Square Enix Twitter, or Twitch.
Congratulations on that, though.
Congrats, dude. That's huge, so that's going to be exciting. All right, Chili, what are you? What's going on with you? What you playing, sir?
I've been playing a lot of Rebirth, actually. We've been playing on stream. We're about 30 hours into the game, and it feels like we're like nowhere near.
So you finished the Grasslands. Good job.
I hear it's massive. Like, it feels like an old school like RPG in which it's like, you got 70 hours. Here you go. That's what I feel from some of the sentiment I see online. Do you feel like that?
It feels fun, massive. Like, the issue with a lot of big games nowadays for me is like I get bored of the open world. Because I have no desire to explore it. But there's something magical about this open world that I feel like I just want to explore and I'm enjoying exploring. I don't feel forced to explore. I feel like, yeah, there's stuff over there. If you want to go over there, you can go do that. You don't have to. It's there. We've done it. Maybe you want to go over there. That's good. There's stuff. We're not going to tell you to go over. You don't have to, but if you want to, and that feels good.
It does feel good. I always enjoy that exploration, for sure.
I will say, though, big thank you to Square Enix, though, for providing us a code at Moogle Go Round. We actually got a code for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth from Square Enix themselves. So thank you.
Awesome. All right. And I think, obviously, let's just kind of jump into a little bit of the news that we have going into this week. The unfortunate news is Akira Toriyama has passed away. Dragon Ball, Dragon Quest. So Chrono Trigger, that was something that it's like when you start to really think about the games that define me, my introduction to him was through Dragon Quest. And that in and of itself was just something that to this day, like I will always be grateful for his style and, you know, his characters. And here we are, obviously, like, you know, just kind of mourning the loss of him on both gaming, but also his storytelling and so much more. I figured everybody kind of weigh in on any kind of thoughts. Mike, do you have any thoughts, especially about
impact? When this broke last night, that was so sad. I'm not a huge Dragon Ball fan, but even it's like saying I'm not a huge Beatles fan either, right? That's just not me. But I can recognize the impact on an industry or that those type of creators have. For me, yes, it was Chrono Trigger. And I still believe to this day, and I will die on this hill, that Blue Dragon is one of the most underrated RPGs of all time. I absolutely love it. And he did the art for that, too. I mean, it's this was incredibly sad last night.
Chris.
I mean, Dragon Ball was the bigger impact
to
me. I will say, like, looking for kind of the silver lining with this, it is a good reminder of just how old this industry is. Like, he wasn't an old guy, you know, relatively youthful, but like the fact that we have 68 and 70 year old people who have made an impact on this industry is just kind of a reminder of like how far we've come and what all we've seen. Just because sometimes it still feels like we're still kids. So this still feels like a very young industry when we talk about, you know, everything from even just the modern definition of anime and video games. Like it doesn't feel that long ago to me.
Yeah.
That I was playing like Quest 64 and, you know, and sitting around with an 8:30 bedtime. And so when you think back to these games, you know, as you see the gameplay on screen here, like it's just a reminder of just how much of an impact they've had over how many people and how many years.
Absolutely. Chili, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't really get into like Chrono Trigger and all that because of, you know, being in the UK, but Dragon Ball Z was pretty much the only anime that I really watched because it's one of the few that actually made it here. Like, and so the impact that has had on me and on the entertainment I enjoy from the different types of video games, as you said, Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger. He's got the new game coming out soon with Sandland in April. Like, Akira Toriyama's designs have really impacted all different types of games. His personality and his writing style has impacted so many different people, so many different ways. From I don't know if you ever saw, like, when Dragon Ball Super aired, Brazil actually made an apology because there was a spike in the electricity being used by these venues that were hosting massive watch parties in real life to celebrate the last episode of Super, because thousands of people had queued up just to watch it together. And it was causing so much of a spike that people's powers were dying. And they made an apology because of Dragon Ball Super that people couldn't do stuff. It's insane the impact Akira Toriyama has had on this industry from all the different animes and games. So 68 is way too young. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for helping me be me. Thank you for just everything, Toriyama. You're one of a kind.
Yeah, so I would never have gotten...
Definitely one of a kind, right? Like, that's an art style, you know, similar to Amano. When you see it, you may not even know his name.
Right.
But when you see the cover for a Dragon Quest game or a Blue Dragon, or you look and you go, I wonder if that's the same dude that did Dragon Ball. Like, it's got that type of very, very unique style, but appealing across a broad spectrum, which is very hard to do. Like, Amano's kind of divisive with his.
Right.
You can look at it and say, that's Amano. I maybe don't like that style. But this is just broad appeal while still maintaining uniqueness. And that's incredibly difficult to do in any art.
No, if you go back to grade school, all the margins in my homework and textbooks were just Dragon Ball Z drawings. Poor ones. but that's what you drew in the margins.
I don't think I would have ever gotten into Final Fantasy if it wasn't for Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior, and his work, because I was that was where my entry point into the RPG was and remained until Final Fantasy IV came along. But I think that would have been something that I easily just ended up skipping or missing over. But it was such a cool thing, and it's meant so much to me. So rest in peace, sir. Thank you so much for all your hard work and just your stories and, you know, having such a huge impact on, I think, everybody's lives here. But also, I've been seeing over on Twitter lots of people sharing their stories. And that's a beautiful thing to celebrate. And the fact that we still have his art and we still have that legacy that we can always look back and enjoy is a real cool reminder. So
his last work will probably be, which is it's kind of sad in a way, Dragon Ball Daima, which should be coming out end of the year, which is actually going to be going back to Goku being a kid again. Hmm. So it's interesting that's
touching.
It's Kid Goku and all that lot again in Daima, which we don't have a release date for yet. But yeah, that for all we know is his last work. So thank you, Toriyama, for everything.
Now, let's go ahead and shift over into a little bit of other video game news. This is on the much more cheery side of things when it comes to Final Fantasy and Dontrail. I'd like to get everybody's kind of opinion and if they have an updated speculation on the idea of Dontrail's release date, because this week we also have the official Xbox release of March 21st. And if you do have Game Pass, you will be able to claim the starter edition of the game up to a certain point. And Chili and I talked about this when the news broke in and of itself, and there's a little bit of a discussion we can go from there, but
don't claim it.
Yeah, that's the summary. I wouldn't claim the starter edition because it is the same version as the free trial. Go ahead, let's talk about that, Chili. What do you think?
Don't claim it unless you're already a Final Fantasy 14 player, in which case you can claim it. Like, if you're new to the game, don't claim it. If you're coming over from PC, maybe claim it. Or sorry, PC or PlayStation, should we say. If you're coming over from PC, PlayStation, Mac, or Steam, because Steam is a separate client, and I just want to make sure I clarify that, then sure, pick it up. But if you're new, don't pick it up. Please don't. Just don't. It's not horribly bad, but it's still not good.
It's that the free trial lets you play without a subscription and a handful of restrictions. And claiming a starter edition now obligates you to a subscription, but you're still not getting the full features of the game. So you're still going to have to make yet another purchase at a certain point down the road. So you might as well stay in the free trial as long as you can. There are a handful of restrictions. So, you know, I think like a proper paying person has to invite you to a party, not the other way around. Can't join guilds. You're limited on money, but money doesn't really mean anything in this game.
You can't join guilds, but you can join link shells.
Yeah.
But you can't make link shells.
So, yeah. Stay in the free trial as long as you can. You know,
I think the issue would be kind of personally solved if there was a way that you could take your account and move it to a free trial account. If for some reason you couldn't pay the sub or something like that, where you're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm locked in to the subscription forever. Oh, you know, and it's like if they gave that kind of ability to toggle that on and off, turn on those restrictions on and off, I think it'd end up being a much better deal overall. But yeah, just hopefully we know that there'll be people who get caught up and I got the free starter edition and then they don't realize it. But Chili brought up some good points. If you're already subbed to the game, then and this will give you that starter edition for Final Fantasy on the Xbox, and then you can then just decide whether you want to purchase the expansion or wait to the Dontrail expansion drops to be able to kind of get caught up on that gap.
Yeah, some of it's going to depend on like final pricing of everything, right? On the Xbox. Like if you are going to complete that free trial by the time the starter edition lapses, I don't think you will, but if you're a burner and you go through that, then it would depend on the pricing of the Dontrail plus everything previous bundle versus buying, you know, Endwalker and the previous expansion versus buying a bundle. Like you have to map out the pricing, but generally I think, yeah, you probably just want to hang tight with the free trial and make the call later.
Yeah. And as one last thing, please claim your materia. In the bottom left of the screen, just above the text box, there are little dots. And when the dots turn white, you have free materia waiting. And this noob above me doesn't claim them.
Ever.
And it's driving me nuts.
Ever.
I've been watching this clip.
I've seen it in a bunch of Final Fantasy clips. I'm like, ah! My daughter picks up her phone in iShot and I see 74 notifications on 6 different apps. I'm like, oh my God, I'd have to throw your phone away if it was mine.
Well, to be fair, you shouldn't look at mine then. I have like 5,000 plus Discord messages not read and like a bajillion emails. Like,
I don't do good with notifications. I'm just like, these got to go away.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have absolutely like, oh, can we notify you about things? I'm like, no, yeah. Like, just don't bother me. I'll come to you when I'm ready for information and news. So anyway, March 21st, right after that, pretty much, you have PAX East. Square Enix has already announced that they're going to be there and have a panel. We are still also waiting on the next announcement of the next live letter. I would assume this will maybe coincide with PAX 14, East.
Well, they announced the 14-hour stream today.
Yeah. Woohoo! They announced the 14-hour stream, which is in April, I think it was.
Oh, it's April.
April 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 4 a.m. BST
is accompanied with a live letter, right?
Yep.
As a part of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually.
I mean, it's 14 hours. They've got to fill it up somehow.
Yeah. It's like
a long one. Like a lend me your ear type.
Yeah.
So
with photos of your ear.
Yeah, with those dates, I'm very curious, especially to Chris and to Mike. Do you guys have any updated speculation on when Dawn Trail might release? We still do not have a release date, and we most likely won't get it, I guess, until April, if that's going to be the timing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it would be unlikely that they announce a release date at PAX. Generally, most of that seems to be just like panels for 14 and 16 and 10-year anniversary stuff, which they are going to milk for the next 5 years, apparently. Yeah, so I find it unlikely that it would be not announced at PAX. If they're going to announce the release date, I feel like it would be the 14-hour stream. And yeah, I don't think either of these changes my kind of like mid-June feeling on this one. Mid to maybe like third week of June type feeling.
That's right in the middle of my prediction kind of range. They've given us so little information on this one. I put like a range of dates instead of trying to call one. And that feels very logical. Feels very, very reasonable.
Chili, are you feeling mid-June as well?
I'm feeling mid-June or to end of June. It's been mine. But I disagree with you with the announcement of release date. I feel like it'll be announced at PAX East.
Really? So behind the scenes at MMO Bomb, I was talking to a number of writers, and my feeling is it would probably be better announced at PAX because you have a bigger audience that isn't already Final Fantasy 14 players.
I'm not looking even at the audience like that. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm looking at the fact that the Xbox beta ends a couple of days beforehand, right? So there'll be a long maintenance, and they probably will want a release out soon. And I've been saying this on everything I've been on any podcast, on any social media. If Xbox does not release a version of Dawn Trail for pre-order for Xbox, I feel like it's going to be a complete scam for those players, because I feel like if you have to buy Endwalker and then a couple of months later, then also buy Dawn Trail, that would be a horrible business proposition for new players. Or even existing players, if you want to switch over from PC to Xbox.
Right.
Like, I feel like that they should really have... I know they normally have it so that you buy Dawn Trail and then you get Endwalker when Dawn Trail comes out. That's how it normally works. I still feel like they need to announce Dawn Trail as a pre-order, even if it's only the digital normal edition that will be announced at PAX East. Save the collector's edition for the 14-hour. Save the physical collector edition. Save all that for the 14-hour live broadcast.
Oh, yeah, where they go into detail about everything that's included, show it off, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah,
Release a digital edition at PAX so that people that are on Xbox can pre-order that and then get everything up to Dawn Trail. Not including Dawn Trail. Yeah, you get Dawn Trail, but not until it's released, of course.
Logically, I am with you. And I've always felt that in my discussions that it would be probably a better announcement at PAX. But we're talking about Square Enix here, and they usually keep these types of things to their own internal presentations, come hell or high water. I would love for you to be right, and I think it makes more sense for you to be right, but I just have that feeling they're going to save it for like a collector set reveal and everything else during the 14-hour stream.
I agree with Mike. I think they can also use PAX as a chance to push that the game is now on Xbox, so they can kind of stagger the announcement, right? That way, because there's a whole group of people that don't need there to be a new expansion for this to already be exciting.
Right.
And an entire group of people that just haven't been informed yet that this is on Xbox. So just the more times we can say this is on Xbox now, that this is on Xbox now, we can have longtime Final Fantasy fans who only have an Xbox say, oh, well, I'd like to try that. And then you can hit them with, okay, and there's an expansion upcoming. And to those people, that'll be like, wow, did anybody know about this? Which is such an exciting time to come into a community. Like when announcements like that strike you as a surprise, like once you're in a community, you don't get that joy anymore. We're all like, yeah, just hurry up and tell us. but for those players, like I think there's an exciting timeline here.
But the issue with that is they're going to lose so much momentum. Like if you announce April, that means you're going to have between March 21st till April 13th with Xbox players unable to play the game anymore. That is a staggering amount of time.
What happened to the PlayStation version when it came out of beta? Did it immediately roll
it just
into
went,
the non? It just went live.
Yeah, it just went live.
Okay.
So that's why I feel like they're going to have to announce, because there'll be a long maintenance probably. That's understandable. 24, 48-hour maintenance after the end of the beta. that is kind of understandable. Like, maybe that'll roll into like the PAX announcement. Yeah, they'll be like, oh, And that's why I feel like, and they don't even have to announce a release date for a pre-order. They just have to announce a release window, because we already know it's spring. So they can announce pre-orders live on Xbox with a spring date and then announce the actual release date in April.
They said the release was actually summer. So it's like,
I thought it was spring.
No, they originally announced summer. We don't have a date. You know, it's like,
okay.
Yeah. That's why I fall into the July category. I still think that, as you know, if it comes out in June, great. But man, I'm just like mentally prepared for July. And on a progress update, for those of you who are curious, I got to share out yesterday, I'm officially 70 pounds down. So I am fast approaching that below 210 weight class, which is where I can then progress the story of Final Fantasy 14 again. So I'm very, very happy with that progress. Still got a little bit to go. So I don't want to be selfish, but I'm like, Nantrio comes out, if I'm not below 210, I'm going to be on, you know, in the waiting room, you know, for it. But
like the typical gamer, where I look at my schedule and say, which weekend would be worse for the game to come out? Yep, that'll probably be it.
When does the Elden Ring DLC come out? Because that's when it's going to come out
first, right? Like
there we go.
that same kind of category. Good news for me though, I haven't finished Elden Ring yet, and it is a phenomenal game if you never had the opportunity to play it. But there are so many also really great games going on as well, and we alluded to it, and we might as well just kind of go into our last bit of news before we kind of get into our main discussions. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has come out, and I've seen some chatter online, and I would say this chatter is most likely console war chatter at the end of the day, but people are downplaying the amount of copies that this game has sold using Japan as some kind of metric, because it has not done as good as remake. But I think they're just looking at the numbers all backwards. What do you guys think about the sale through with Rebirth, etc.?
Well, it's not done as well as Remake, but Remake also happened during COVID when everyone was locked in. So therefore, people had more time
PS4, and there's more PS4s out at the time. And PS5.
No, I think there's more PS5s out now than there was PS4s at the time.
PS4 count at that time, particularly in Japan. Because the PS4 didn't sell well in Japan.
It did not.
And it was at about a 9 million mark, according to most sources, where the PS5 currently sits in Japan at about a 5 million mark. So there are fewer PS5s than there were PS4s back then. So that's certainly one consideration. COVID is obviously a big consideration in any game sales when you start comparing today to 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah. But those items being said, I don't think it's unfair, Brian, to look at the numbers still and go, because you are comparing a quarter of a million to almost 750,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big gap. And I know there's a bunch of asterisks on that, right? Less PS5s versus PS4. COVID. We're only talking about Japan, not international or global sales. So how is the game doing well or bad based on this? But it is one that if I was Square Enix, I would look at that number and go, that's a little concerning. We need to dig into why, because that is three times the volume of the predecessor.
I'm not shocked.
Three times the volume.
Oh, I'm not shocked, really. Like, it's a sequel of a title that's a specific Final Fantasy. As much as we all love, there's a vocal amount of people that love Final Fantasy VII, it is still a sequel to a game, and not everyone would have played the first game.
True.
And so therefore, not everyone will jump into the sequel.
Yeah, and I haven't jumped into the sequel because I am still playing the first one. And but I will say, it's an absolute treasure. And I'm very happy that I played 16 before I played Remake, because it feels like it is actually a massive step up in terms of the combat system. And maybe there's some nostalgia bias for me that's at play here, but ultimately I'm just like, And now I'm like, I'm looking forward to playing this, getting finished through Remake, and then eventually stepping into Rebirth later this year.
Keep in mind, by the way, that a lot of these numbers are based on physical. So
these are all physical.
Yeah, we're not
about physical sales.
We're not in a physical world, like it or not, anymore. Yeah.
So the last time I bought a physical game.
Right. Digital is going to drastically change those numbers. Right.
It's like people, I keep seeing people saying, well, if it had been on PC, these numbers would have been higher.
Yeah.
Well, yes, the numbers would have been higher, but not these numbers. These numbers would be exactly the same.
Breath of the Wild. This is my last physical purchase. Yeah. And that was because I wanted the big physical collectors.
There's no physical PC copies, so you're not going to see bigger number here because PC.
It is because a little weird that the physical sales in Japan are even lagging behind 16, though. I do find that one to be a little weird.
Well, that's because a lot of people jumped into Final Fantasy via Final Fantasy 14 because it's such a big game. And we all know that Yoshi P's brother, Yoshi P, worked on Final Fantasy 16. So
I also wanted that map. So, like, if you're going to make me buy physical, like, there's got to be a draw for physical.
Yeah.
You know, I think it makes sense with platforms like Switch to still buy physical sometimes because, you know, especially in households that are sharing cartridges around, like, you know, maybe you have family members that live nearby, and so cartridges just kind of get loaned around. But for PS5, like, I don't know why I would go physical. Like, I just can't picture purchasing physical very often. If digital is an option, like, I would just prefer digital. It doesn't mean I've never bought physical games, but I just prefer digital. Like, yeah, you can't lose digital, it. It never scratches. It never wears out.
As somebody with kids, like, it doesn't end up broken in half or down the drain, or, you know, like, there's so many risks to the physical. Like, people are like, oh, you know, yay physical. I'm like, man, I moved off of that as soon as I could, and I've been all digital since the PS4 and Xbox One era. Like, that was like, yeah, I think somebody gave me a game, you know, as a part of some kind of promotion, and it was disc based, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, these have disc drives. I don't even think about that, because most, if not all, my media is all through digital, through streaming, and my music, my movies, my television, like, all of it's just handled. And that's honestly what I prefer. But I'm not advocating for that choice to be taken away from gamers, but I don't see a future in which that it isn't very, very, very niche, where it's like, okay, the consoles no longer have a disc drive, but you can order a disc drive if you really want that, you know, physicality there. And then,
well, like, you mean like the PS5 digital edition that they re-released, like, this, not the first one, but the second one, where it had support for a separate disc drive that you can put on if you want to later on. I'm still a bit annoyed that the original digital doesn't support the disc drive. Like, I have a disc edition, so that's fine. I don't really use it, but I have it. But, like, I wish that would have been backwards compatible. Like, that was a little bit frustrating.
So that's the summary of the story, is that it's just got so many asterisks on it that
it does. It's like Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. Like, right?
Maybe it's just something's wrong. Asterisk. I guess let's look and see if something's wrong, but, like, we don't even know if something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because it might
be. We also seemingly, and I don't know if this ended up being proven, you know, false, but along a line, those same announcements, is that there was, like, articles printing out that Xbox will never get the Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy. And I don't know if that was debunked, but.
Well, you're talking about the Washington Post article, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was an update to that, because originally the article said that Sony had secured the entire trilogy as a console exclusive. Mm-hmm. So you weren't going to see that bad boy on Xbox or Switch. It was later updated and amended to just say that, as far as confirmation, they only confirmed Remake and Rebirth as being console exclusive, not the potential third title yet. It wasn't the entire trilogy. So while the initial reporting was somewhat misleading, it wasn't misleading to the point of just totally being false yet.
Yeah, but it's been 4 years, still not on Xbox. Like, it just feels like it originally seemed like that was going to happen. And I'm it just feels like behind the scenes, Sony continues to, you know, offer a check to extend that exclusivity deal to keep it off Xbox. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's even just a check. I feel like it's a legal, like, loophole from back in the day. For anyone that doesn't know, outside of America and Japan, I don't know if it's in America exactly, I just know outside of Japan, the publisher for Final Fantasy VII and the person that funded it, the original, was Sony. Sony was the original publisher for Final Fantasy VII, and they helped fund the original Final Fantasy VII. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's not some history in that contract which allows them to decide what the remakes are published on, because they helped with some of the assets in the original game. Yeah, and they've also, you know, helped Square over the years as well. Like, they, when Square's had issues, Sony has funded them. When Sony's had issues, Square's funded them. They've had like a back and forth relationship for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not a lawyer and I don't know anything about their, but you know, that's my theory based on completely nothing but my own brain.
I think Xbox players should be least told, like, whether it's going to happen or it's never going to happen. It feels like they've been strung along for a while, and this news in and of itself is like, well, just tell me, because we know that Rebirth will be coming out on PC at some point. I don't think that is going to be as big of a gap that we saw with the original remake to PC, but yeah. Who knows? They could still
the trailers ahead of Rebirth's launch did have the disclaimer at the bottom that the remake ones did, but it was only a 3-month window.
Yeah,
advertised at the bottom of the Rebirth trailers. And again, that's like the earliest that it would ever come. Yeah. I don't think it's coming that early, but it was interesting that they advertised a much smaller window initially.
I've been calling that Rebirth will probably hit PC at the earliest. My predicted release date is November.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
But you think 16 is going to come out this year before Rebirth, though? Like sometime this summer?
Yeah,
I think we're going to look at 16 in August, September time, and then they're going to give it a few months between that till the release. Basically, it all depends on, A, the DLC release date for 16, because I feel like that's going to come to PlayStation first. Not because of any kind of exclusivity, but just because that way Square can be like, okay, you can get the two DLCs for Final Fantasy 16 on PlayStation now. You can buy them. Then there'll be Dawn Trail, whenever that comes out, either June, July. Like, I still feel June, as I said, but I think it's going to be the last week of June for as early access, and then the official release will be July. So let's just say July. And then then you want a little bit of a break between Dawn Trail and the next game, because you still want people to buy Dawn Trail. So August, September will be 16. Like, that's that way it gives people a couple of months between the sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you want another few months, because 16 is quite big. Like, and 16 will probably come out on PC with both the first and second DLC, and they'll release it at full price. They'll be like, look, you get both DLCs that PlayStation had to buy separately. It's included free with your PC edition, and it has all these new the grass moves better, and you have better lighting.
I'm hoping for ultra-wide support, personally. Yeah, like, that's some of the things, like, when I got to play Forspoken on PC, I was like, this is wonderful, but I have a computer that could run Forspoken. And I was like, yeah, ultra-wide, man. I'm so spoiled.
And then they'll push Rebirth a few months later to give it that some more breathing room, either in November, or they might push it to January and be like, this is our big release of the year, Fantasy VII Rebirth PC.
You guys have any other thoughts on that before we move into our main discussion topic today?
Let's get to it.
All right. We've got two discussion topics. We're going to start with the Blind Run drama that has been interesting. I've been getting updated from Chris and more. So in and of itself, it's been an incredibly entertaining week, because I was not aware of any of this at all, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot from, you know, what there's a community out there that likes to try and blindfold themselves and do something crazy. And that kicked up a lot of drama. Chris, do you want to give us the TLDR for anybody who has not seen any of that information?
Yeah. So there's a full-time content creator who's a fairly talented Monster Hunter player, and she thought that it would be fun to try this blindfolded thing. And like anybody who's ever tried to beat a game quickly but wasn't aware of the speedrunning community, or has ever tried to, you know, go back and do some sort of marathon but isn't aware of kind of the communities that form around that, there are a lot of rules. Like, the speedrunning community has rules, the blindfold community has rules. And so she kind of just did it as what appeared to be like, this would be entertaining, this would be fun. It seemed like she kind of just did it for her fan base. And then, like many times on the internet, you do something for your fan base and it goes a lot broader than you intended. And then, of course, there's going to be a whole lot of criticism about how you did it. And so she got a lot of criticism that, you know, you could see through her blindfold, and that there was evidence that she was not as pure as what this community that maybe she did or didn't know existed was. And so on its own, like, I don't think there was anything wrong with the first video. I think, you know, you just come out after that and you go, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know the rules. And then you either decide from there to follow the rules and go back and try again and say, okay, I'm going to do this correctly now that I know how. Or you say, sorry, it was really just meant to be a little thing. And then you hope to just kind of fade back into whatever level of popularity you had before. And then everybody will just move on. Instead, she decided, I'm going to reach out to the community and figure out how this is supposed to be done. I'm going to order the right blindfold. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to put paper over this screen and over this screen. And it's all going to be very clear. And she did it. And then she got a clear, which is amazing that she did this thing that nobody thought she could do relatively rapidly. And so people started looking closer. And I came into it through Carl Jope's video. But turns out there was a third monitor. And she had lifted her eyes so you can like see out this gap in the nose and could see. And so that's where I think she made a poor choice. Like seeing through the blindfold, sorry, made a mistake. But that's where it took a real turn. And so there were people upset about the first one, but I think that could have blown over. The second one is where she's made a career altering choice.
Mike, you got any thoughts?
So I was watching this in real time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cool. Oh, no.
I'm not a speedrunner myself, but I do enjoy the speedrunning. I have friends that do AGDQ and been on there, and it's a blast. And it's just a great community. But it's also a community that you do not F around with. Like, you just don't. You will get exposed. And I saw Carl Jope's, hello, you absolute legends. And sorry. And I love the man. Love him. Big hugs. Big hugs. And I saw his first video where he teased the second video that was coming like a week later. On the 29th, I literally had Carl's YouTube channel on this side of my monitor, just like, you know, refreshing it periodically throughout the day. I'm like, come on, drop that son of a bee. Drop that son of a bee. I would agree with you, Chris, on most of what you said there. If you want to go goof around and pretend to do something or not quite do something or have some fun or whatever with your stream, more power to you. And if the blindfolded speedrunning community was like, dude, that was totally fake, and you were like, yeah, I was just screwing around with my chat, settle down, nobody would be talking about this. But when she did the first video, I don't know how much of it was her or how much of her community. I don't know. I'm not part of the, you know, I don't follow her, watch her religiously or anything, but they literally sought out coverage from people like Asmongold on the first video. And that's where I have a little bit of a, maybe the motives weren't as pure or as innocent and goofy with your stream as some people might have thought. And Asmon was totally fooled.
He was on board. The Asmon coverage is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
She did it.
There's multiple videos where he's like, I don't know, man. This looks like it. Okay, fine. Then the second video. Okay, well, maybe she can see through it a little bit, but that's still very impressive. And no doubt it is. She's good at the game. Like, nobody's baiting that. Then you see the third video and Asmon's just like, ah, crap. Yeah, this whole thing. When you double down that hard and get busted that hard, I don't know what you do with that besides, you know what, maybe it's time for like 3 weeks off, go to Vegas, we'll come back and resume streams then. Like, oh my god, it was so, Carl's stuff is so fun, so good anyway. Yeah. But
people are hoping for a third video, one for you.
I thought, you know, I should do this podcast today blindfolded.
My kids have a blindfold. I was thinking about introducing that.
I mean, I'm a magician, I've got six over here. But then I thought, yeah, I could see through all of them. I'm a magician, so yeah, whatever. But yeah, what a mess. It's a tremendous ride. Just go watch. I don't understand, and this happens with content creators all the time. Brian, I know you've done a ton of coverage on various drama bits throughout the years, whether it be 14 or other bits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the double down. I just can never understand the double down. You want to be a schmack and screw around on the internet and you get caught? Fine, take your lump, walk away. Stop the double down is the dumbest portion of any internet drama.
Either.
Just make and if you have a ukulele, break
just
it.
Just go live with some other term of content. And if people come into your stream or your comments and say something, just have a simple canned, yeah, I was just joking around, won't do it again.
Yeah.
But like the emotional crying on the bear rug, we're sorry video, like that's not going to work either.
Got absolutely ripped apart. Like absolutely
the double down was crazy.
Yeah.
The mod going on Asmund's stream and saying he's a physician and he can tell. Like it just everything about it just poured gasoline on the fire. It was a small fire. And we were like, oh, that's funny. I'm not used to seeing a fire over there. And it just turned into something so much bigger than it needed to be. But if you're looking for entertainment,
can't beat it. It's tremendous.
It was
better than anything on Netflix right now.
That was just, I guess, for me, the piece de resistance, I was like, when she looked at her third monitor and responded to chat, and it's like, you think that.
And then halfway through the response, stopped talking because she realized what she had done.
Wait,
and then goes to the other monitor. Look at the other monitor.
All you do is not put chat on there.
Right.
Like just the idea that I want to cheat and I want to see people wowed at my cheating in the moment. Like I can't even watch the VOD and enjoy people's reactions. I need to enjoy their reactions now. Like, that's the only logic I can come up with. Otherwise, like, you should just hide anything that's going to expose you. Like, anybody smart enough to get away with stuff usually just doesn't attempt stuff because they can see the penalty is too great.
I think it would have been even sweeter if, for some reason, during the fight, she responded to chat. Like, yeah, guys, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for the sub.
The fact that she had to check the third monitor one more time before putting the blindfold down, when you can see through the blindfold. Like, why are you checking it?
Yeah.
You should be focused on, like, look forward, put the blindfold down. Now check.
You should have just set the chat to have text-to-speech and have it go through your headphones and do route it through a different audio so that they can't hear the chat if need be.
You could have also set that monitor to mirror the game. Like you didn't have to actually.
Or you could have just not been an absolute lying douche. Like one of those things. Like maybe let's go that route. Maybe
it was clear that she was always going to double down. We're trying to help the double down. Right. And we're trying to predict the third video when she thinks, okay, I can get away with it this time.
This turned into, okay, how could she have gotten away with it? Like, what would we?
Well, that's how they had to guess. Because when people were trying to think about how did she do it, they were checking, like, are her keystrokes real? Is it pre-recorded gameplay?
Right. Like, is somebody else playing or et cetera?
And it turns out the method was just so much dumber. Like, you're thinking way too hard. You're like, you could have mirrored the display. Yes, you could have. But you didn't. Like, think simpler. The whole thing could have been avoided if she had just, after the first one, said, I was just joking around with something. I like to try different types of content. I had no idea there was a whole blindfold community. That's crazy. You could have reacted to a couple of their videos and given them props. Like, I can't believe how real this is. This is amazing. And just been in awe of it. You could have still milked it for content.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because she could have gone off on the whole journey to learn about this. She could have spent a year learning about this and then slowly trying her own hand at it, always failing, and it would have been fine. The idea that, okay, well, I'm just going to do a second video and tell everybody that I was blindfolded the first time for sure, which they know I wasn't, and then I'm going to do it again with cheating. Like, it was a whole bunch of bad thought in a row.
Now, in chat, Stinky Rock says, people will forget about the situation fast and she'll have gained supporters in the end anyways. It's a good tactic. When it comes down to this game of attention, which is kind of the currency of social media, yeah, she might get some, you know, or has some blowback. But I actually do agree with Slinky here because, and, you know, not to sound sexist or anything, but she's easy on the eyes. You know, she seems to be very good at the game that she does. And when it comes down to different content creators, we've seen some women come out with like very bad takes on you know, Twitch or et cetera. And then ultimately people end up following them more anyway, because they go viral for whatever their bad hot take is about having to sub to somebody, you know, et cetera.
Hot take gaining support is gender unique.
Yeah. No. I don't think it is either.
I think there's just
not at all.
Just to broaden that to anybody can have a bad take and turn it into growth.
where I think she might stumble with this a little bit. I would agree with, I can't say she's probably not going to, you know, reap some benefits of this, but those benefits are going to be short-lived.
They're going to be at an immense price.
Yeah. And the problem was the double down is what causes, I think, more blowback than what could have just been fun, controversial for a day or two, and get some extra viewers and stuff, whether you're a guy or a girl, doesn't matter. There's a genuine distaste for dishonesty on the internet in content creators. It is the fastest way for somebody to just stop watching your stuff when you are just blatantly dishonest. You make a mistake, you can come back. You do something wrong, but realize it was wrong later, you can come back. I do think there's a little more pushback from the internet when you're blatantly dishonest and then you double down on that dishonesty with more dishonesty. Then it becomes, why am I watching you? Do I really care about you killing this dragon 5,000 times enough to be watching this anymore when I just don't trust you? I don't know if that's going to be the case here. Short term, yeah, probably get a little bump. Long term, it'll eventually blow over. It's more funny to me than anything.
Like, let's assume she does now make an extra 20% income because she has an extra 40% viewers, right? Forever now. Let's just assume it lasts forever. That's fine. But half of those people are there to mock you and hate you. And so, like, you've made every stream and video you ever publish now a, is this going to get some comment that makes my day?
Yeah, a modding nightmare for the rest of your time.
For the rest of your career. Because people are going to watch some old video is going to come up and they're going to think, oh, it's funny, I'm going to go put something hateful on our channel. So that's the bigger issue. Like, yeah, maybe you gained popularity, but me personally, having been a full-time content creator, that's not worth it. Like, the protecting the mental ability, when you're supposed to just be on when the camera's on, you've got to come in a good mental space. And so anything that can help your community be a good space to be a part of, where you're excited to go be with your community and you're not like, well, I wonder what the jerk is going to say today. And there are, I see those communities where I go in and like the chat is just filled with like hate and mocking and I don't understand it. So it's literally just foreign to me. So maybe I just don't, maybe there are people that get joy out of that. But when I was streaming 50, 60, and even over 100 hours a week, some weeks, I just could only have done that in a space that was supportive. And I can't imagine wanting to do a set of actions that's going to guarantee that never happens again.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. I guess we'll see in the long run if we end up having any kind of follow up, if she comes out with a third attempt or something like that.
Oh, I hope she does. Like, I'm here as a viewer. Like, it was like I could do probably four or five more of these before they wouldn't be funny anymore.
I think she's talented enough that I would believe that she could probably do it actually blindfolded without having to try it. If nothing else, it'd be interesting to see, but
no, she can't. And I can tell you that right now, because then she just would have, Brian. Like, it would have been a stream week, month of whatever, just blindfolded attempts.
Yeah,
to blindfolded try. Attempts. That's what the content would have been. Interesting.
That's what I would have done, but I clicked a sign for a month, so people know that I'm okay with monotonous content. I'm like, you're right, guys. I guess I could see a little bit. I thought of it as like a lack of availability, but I've ordered the real blindfold and buckle in because we're going to do 6 hours of me sucking at this.
And what I should do is I should do a stream where I just take my glasses off and I can't really see anything on screen because it's all blurry.
Legally blind run. There you go. Perfect. There's a whole new category. Speed runs for those who are visually impaired. And, you know, and then the analysts are like, do we see contact lenses, you know, that they're wearing or anything like that?
I like watching those too. Like I watched a whole bunch of videos from a gamer who, he was in like a motorcycle accident and he lost his hand. And he has this set of videos of like this journey of like learning to play without a hand. And like, that's like, it's just this amazing way to change the medium that we all enjoy, because like, I can't relate to that. Like I just can't even imagine. And so it doesn't have to be like funny or anything like that. It can also just be something that's like, wow, I'm learning a lot about adversity that other people overcome.
Well, Chris, it's not exactly the same because I, you know, got my hand again, but like, I remember last year after December where I fell over and I fractured my wrist for my right hand. So I had to get used to playing games with just one hand for like 2 or 3 months because I had no ability to use my other hand. It was crazy trying to, I ended up braiding in 14 with like a gaming mouse pad just so I could try and keep up with people.
I was watching
my other hand.
Ren Caradani had an injury. He slipped on his driveway and shattered his elbow and went through a whole journey.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So like she had another method. Like she could have really just put the blindfold on and didn't even have to be good at it. And like, I think people were like, this is awesome. Like,
this is cool. Yeah.
What a cool way to get introduced to the community. Like, dishonest, but we're here now and we're glad you're here.
We're coming up at the end of the show. I know that Mike's got to head out to a podcast that he's running right after this. So be sure to go follow him. He's tagged in the description of this. Chris, I know we were going to talk about
this podcast will be on MMO Bomb, though. So don't go to MMO. That tag.
Okay. Chris, were you going to add something? Because I do want to get to the 20 questions to kind of wrap up the show. We were planning on talking about Nintendo and the emulation. Maybe we'll be able to bring that up next week. Depends on what's going on. It's just lots of stuff happening, obviously, at the start of the show. So you guys ready to play some 20 questions? I have the game locked down in the brain. And the rules are, it's a video game, and you can ask any yes or no question.
Was it originally published before the year 2000?
No.
Good. Okay. Was it originally published on a console?
Yes.
Does it require online access?
Yes.
Now, I just want to clear something up.
2000.
I said 2000.
Pre 2000.
And it was post 2000.
Post 2000.
Yeah. So it's post 2000.
I just want to clear things up though. When you say it was published on console, does that mean it was also on PC at the same time? Or was it just it came console and then PC?
It was PC same time. Okay. I'm going to count that as a question now.
Okay. Yeah, the online is required.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is it an RPG?
I'm going to say no, but like with any modern or semi-modern game, you know, over the last like, you know, couple, maybe 20 years, there are some RPG elements.
Is this a team-based or group-based game?
Yes.
Was it a Japanese company?
Let me look that up. Well, I just want to make sure because I don't believe so, but I don't want to send you guys down the wrong pathway.
Post 2000s online team-based game.
So I would say no to a Japanese
developer.
Right.
All right. What's a
console and PC?
What's a question we can ask to get Grand Theft Auto ruled out? Like a nice broad question.
Is it 18 plus?
There you go.
Let me look at the rating here.
What's the US rating for that? I wasn't allowed to play those games as a kid. I'm the oldest of my siblings. And so even once I was old enough, they said your younger siblings will see it on the TV. Meant that college was awesome because it opened up all sorts of gaming doors.
It is 18 plus or rated M if you're in the state.
There you go. Okay.
How many questions have we done?
You guys are at 8 questions so far.
I mean, another one could be, is it after the 2015s?
Oh, released after 2015?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that rules out Grand Theft Auto as well, because Grand Theft Auto, well, unless you count re-releases, in which case...
I'm not counting re-releases.
No, original release.
Is the game based on a real-world war?
No. 10.
Oh, is it free to play?
No.
Okay, that rules out Fortnite. How old is Fortnite now? I just want to Google that.
Fortnite has to be at least 8 years and under, in my mind.
2017.
Yeah.
So.
Online required, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't think it was before 2015.
Is online
required
for any of the sports games?
No, but there'll be some, right? Like Forza probably has some online requirements. Yeah, you know, I'm guessing. Okay.
Yeah, but
is it a racing game?
Really wouldn't be party or team based.
It is not a racing game.
Okay. I don't know. I would consider some racing games kind of party or team based, especially like The Crew
or the Forza Horizons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the primary, anyway, I don't think it's going to be one of those. Yeah. The primary gameplay in those games is still solo. You just have the ability to group up if you want to.
But Helldivers, you have the ability to plan your own.
Is it a shooter?
Yes.
There we go.
Okay.
Progress. Okay.
I'm trying to think of shooters. I was trying to think of shooters that you would not necessarily off the top of your head know if the developer was Japanese or not. Like, that kind of throws out like Overwatches and stuff like that, because he would have just immediately said correct. No.
Right.
So a team-based online post-2000 shooter on PC and consoles developed by a non-Japanese company that he wasn't quite sure was non-Japanese. He had to look it up. Rated M, not based on real world wars.
And it's not free to play.
It is not free to play.
It's not free to play. You
know
that. So that rules out Warzone.
Well, yeah.
And, we should chat sure, asking right, if they can help at all. Like, y'all feel free to in chat to make your guesses. I'm not going to call it out or like, but yeah, feel free to make those guesses because it's fun, regardless if you get it.
And it sounds like it's multi. It was both. It's on PC and on console.
Yeah, it's on PC. But we didn't. Okay, we said shooter, but we didn't roll out what type of shooter. Is it a first person shooter?
There is the ability to go into first person as well. So.
So you're saying it's mainly third person?
It's up to you as a player if you want third or first person.
Borderlands can be too old, but Far Cry is interesting.
Is it based off a popular IP?
I'm not going to count that as a question because I don't actually know how to answer that without like...
Far Cry was originally...
Without like ended up sending you guys maybe down a rabbit hole, because I would say no. Personally, but I'm not going to count that as a question because I don't want to send you guys down the wrong pathway. If for some reason it's like, oh, it's pot.
So is that a way of saying that it was not at the time, but now is its own popular IP?
That's a good way of describing it. Well, I was just like, oh gosh, like no, but
so it wasn't like based on a TV show, but it has since become its own popular IP.
Correct.
That could be like Fallout. Like Fallout 76.
I mean, I don't know. I think Fallout was always popular.
Well, Fallout 76, but specifically.
Not an IP before.
Right, before it didn't Fallout exist.
It is popular now.
Yeah,
it
created its own
IP. There's a brewery here in Texas that makes beers.
I mean, Fallout 76 was still an IP based on Fallout. It's still a Fallout. That's not a different IP.
Right.
But he would have known that wasn't Japanese.
Right, yeah. I would have, yeah, being yeah. that it's Bethesda.
Yeah.
So it's...
Huh.
Him not knowing if it was Japanese is an accidental extra clue.
Yep.
Like...
And he at least had to verify it.
I just want to make sure I don't give you guys the bet. Oh, it turns out Brian was lying the whole time. It was Super Mario.
The shooting is the worst part of that game.
Super Mario Run. I don't know if that was made in America.
Online requires games the last 10 years. We got
6 questions left.
Can I still buy this on Steam?
Yeah. Yeah, 5 questions.
You can buy anything on Steam. It's Steam.
Oh, no.
Is it crossplay?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like it's a certain game, but I think it's too modern and too obvious.
What are you thinking?
I don't want to say it. I don't know why, but I'm thinking Helldivers, but I don't, you know, because it's technically based on an old IP.
We've never picked a game that new.
Yeah.
That would be quite the shift.
Because it would be a game based on a previous IP that wasn't popular and now is.
Was it released within the last 2 years?
Yes.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, so now we've brought it into modern history. How many left?
You got
Helldivers 1 came out in 2015, by the way. And because it's a PlayStation game, you could be confused with the fact that it could be Japanese. And it's cross-play. And it has a first-person mode with the guns. You can switch between third and first person. So a lot of these things kind of fall into play with Helldivers 2. But I also feel like it's too obvious. So I kind of don't want to say.
Hold on.
Mass Effect did have an online mode, you're right.
It's really
but funny. I think he would know that from... But I don't think he would consider BioWare confused between a Japanese company, though.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think that's a good guess.
Is it Helldivers 2?
It is Helldivers 2.
Yeah.
You got it. And I saw chat talking about Helldivers 2 based off Star Troopers. There is some part of that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to make that connection with the first one. And that's why I didn't count that as a question against the guys, because I was like, oh, that's a really up to individual interpretation, you know.
And there's also, like, it depends on how you play as well, because I would say there's also very Terminator vibes with the androids. Like, exactly. They're more Terminator than they are
Star Wars as well. Like, it's, you know, like, there is a lot of influences from that, but I wouldn't call that from based off of popular IP, you know. That was a great question, but I was like, oh, I'm worried that I'm going to send you guys down the wrong path. So congratulations. You guys won.
That was close.
I redeemed myself from last week. Yay.
Well, you were just by yourself last week, Chili. So it's like,
that was really hard. Yeah.
So guys, be sure to go and follow these amazing content creators on their various different platforms. You can always kind of check them out over on Twitter and over on YouTubes and over on Twitch. They make some excellent stuff, but we're going to wrap up because I got to go do some other fun things today. So thank you guys so much for joining me for this roundtable, and hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. Until next time, though, take care.